Welcome back. Joining us now is the mercenary geologist, Mr. Mickey Fult, mercenarygeologist.com. I'm flipping over there right now, going to Mickey's website. Mickey, how you doing?
Doing well, Alan. How are you?
I'm fine. So Mickey's out in New Mexico, so it's 8:20 out there. I don't feel quite as bad. At first, I was thinking, are they Pacific time? Is it 7 in the morning?
Well, 7 would be okay, too. I basically get up when it gets light in the morning. So.
And that, didn't you say you live in an adobe house?
I do, yep, 98 years old.
So if that ground ever shakes out there, your adobe house is going to turn back into mud, won't it?
Yeah, it could do that, yes. But luckily I live in an area where not particularly seismically active. The quakes we get here, I think since I've been here, the biggest one's been maybe a 4.5 to 5. So those are pretty minor quakes.
What's going on out there in Oklahoma? Why has that area suddenly become active?
Well, there's certainly it's become active, but there are a bunch of minor quakes, swarms. The biggest one I've been able to find recently is about a 4.5. Most of the recent ones have been between 2 and 3. To put that into perspective, 2 to 3 can be felt slightly indoors by some people. A 3, you would get between a 3 and a 4, you get some objects shaking inside. A 4 to 5 would be felt by most people. No to very minimal damage. So there's been a swarm of these things east and north of Oklahoma City. The reasons are unclear, but thought to be at this point because of wastewater disposal, high pressure wastewater disposal in wells from oil and gas drilling.
Are they blaming it on fracking?
Well, they don't really blame it on fracking. It's not the fracking, per se, that would be causing these earthquakes. But fracking involves large amounts of water, and once that water is returned up the well, it has to be disposed of. And they have these deep disposal wells. They're generally played out oil wells where they re-inject the wastewater. There are thoughts, unproven right now, that this wastewater is injected, and because there's lots of oil and gas production, there's oil and gas production in 70 of the 77 counties in Oklahoma. It's thought that maybe it lubricates some existing faults and increases the seismicity.
Okay, but we're not getting earthquake swarms in Texas, and there's a whole lot of fracking going on over there, too, isn't it?
Well, certainly. In North Dakota, why it is happening in Oklahoma, no scientists seem to really be clear about it. There is probably is typical. There's an Ivy League geophysicist that says in a paper recently, she said that they can blame all this, all these earthquakes on 4 injection wells around the Oklahoma City area. And then, of course, the oil and gas petroleum industry in Oklahoma comes out and says it's way too early to determine that and arrest a judgment. And their point's well taken, because what they've done is they've gone and shown that the amount of water that's being disposed of right now is actually less than at times in the past. And you know, they've been doing this for 50 years or longer in Oklahoma. Now, hydrofracking is not new. It certainly is more productive now, especially with horizontal drilling, but it's not a new technique. It's been around for half a century.
Yeah, I think I may have told you I actually wound up fracking a artesian well to irrigate my koi pond in my yard. But this well was only 650 feet deep, and fracking did the trick. I mean, the bozos didn't drill where I told them to drill. I was out of town. I went and used some of that landscaping tape. I'd used a couple dividing rods and, you know, copper rods, and it works for me. It doesn't work for everybody. In fact, I remember one time I was showing a guy how the dividing rods worked, and I put my hands over a bucket of water, and they just locked in, and he laughed because he thought I had done it. But I had painted where I wanted them to drill the well. There also happened to be a concentration of oak trees, which is what an old Cherokee Indian told me. If you know somebody that doesn't work for them, just tell them to find the oak trees. And so they didn't drill where I told them to drill. They drilled about 50 feet east of that position. And so when we were at 650 feet and I was only getting 2 gallons a minute, if I'd have been younger, I'd have gone off on them. But I expressed my frustration. And they wound up fracking over to where I told them to drill, and that got me the water I was after. So, but these oil wells, they're miles deep, aren't they?
Generally, the fracking, the wells are being fracked, for the most part, are relatively shallow, especially in Oklahoma. Now, if you get down south Oklahoma City in the Anadarko Basin, some of those gas wells there would be really deep, but the depth of fracked wells is generally not very deep, because you're basically trying to mine the source rocks, the shales, which have very little permeability. So what fracking does is it basically goes in and cracks the rock, opens up fractures. You know, I do a similar thing every time my water well quits producing a bit. How do I frack it? I take a 22, it's a shallow well, and I shoot a couple of bullets down it to create a percussion, which essentially opens it up again. This is a technique people have used for a long time.
How deep is your well?
Well, my irrigation well is 34 feet deep.
Lucky
guy.
And
we produce from a 5-foot standpoint from 29 to 34 feet. So shallow, very shallow.
I had a partner, he went 50 feet down at 200 gallons a minute.
Yeah, well, you know, mine produces, it's just a 2-inch driven well, and it produces 15 gallons a minute, which is fine for irrigating my lawn and a few fruit trees I got up in the front part of my property.
Well, what I was doing, my primary objective, well, first of all, they started doing the old water rationing and all that here, you know, banning it, and I wasn't going to lose my vegetation. And then secondly, you can imagine how healthy 1,000 gallons of fresh water every day is for a 7,000-gallon koi pond. So I just had it set on drip, and, you know, it was just, like, perfect for the koi. But back to this situation in Oklahoma, is this part of a fault or a zone act there? I mean, what plate are we looking at?
Well, it's in the middle of the craton, in the middle of the continental crust, so there are no plates. This is very old crust. If you go south Oklahoma City, you get into the Ouachita Mountains tectonic zone, but this is quite a ways up. There's a bunch of faults. There's faults everywhere. Even if you're not on a plate boundary, they just tend to be more active on the plate boundary. Why they have been reactivated recently, who knows? But, you know, it's kind of the whole idea is, why is the New Madrid Fault in the middle of the continent? You know, we got, as we've talked about before, there's some theories about that. But, yeah, this is an area that has not been seismically active historically. But bear in mind, these are really small earthquakes. Most of them would not even be felt by most people.
Yeah, they had a 3.6 2 days ago out there.
Yeah, and they had a 4.5 in the last month or so. Certainly a lot of people feel that. And about 3 years ago, they had a 5.7 that actually killed a couple of people. And that was pretty serious.
What's the strongest quake you personally have been in?
I think it's a 7.4. 7.2, 7.4. I was in a big one in southern Peru, and I've been in a big one, actually a couple of big ones in northern Chile, and both those quakes killed people. But interestingly enough, the last big one I was near in northern Chile, I was traveling on the highway, Pan American Highway, when it happened, and never felt it. Thought it was a bump on the rough road.
I guess unlike storm chasers, you cannot be an earthquake chaser.
Not really. They're pretty much unpredictable where they're going to happen, when they're going to happen, and how big they're going to be.
Hey, when we were swapping emails a couple of weeks ago, you were out in the field. You were doing some geology work?
Yeah, I was up in the Four Corners area, broadly up from north of the Grand Canyon, the Arizona Strip, and into southeast Utah and southwest Colorado. I was looking at a bunch of uranium mines of a particular uranium company I cover, uranium producer in the U.S.
And you told me you were giving a speech in New York last week?
Yeah, I was at the Metals and Minerals Investment Conference in New York City, and I actually had four speaking appearances over a couple of days and was on live television out of Toronto. And, so it was fun, and a lot of my business is involved in those sorts of things.
If y'all want to follow Mickey, go to mercenarygeologist.com. You can see Mickey and all of his musings. It's quite a good website. Mickey, so you don't think this earthquake swarm we're seeing in Oklahoma is necessarily a harbinger of a big one that's about to break loose?
Well, evidence would say no. There is no sound reason to think right now that there's a big one coming. Now, certainly a 5.7 they had 3 years ago, that's a pretty big quake. And especially dangerous for people that live in older houses. They've issued some warnings. If you live in an old brick house that's not stabilized, it could be dangerous. But we would not expect a major quake. And, you know, I track earthquakes through the USGS. The people involved with me, we have a filter put on where any earthquake greater than 6.0 or 6.0 and greater, we get a notice from the USGS about that worldwide. So that's kind of our threshold for what we would consider a significant earthquake, 6.0 or better. I'm not saying that there could not be one that big in Oklahoma, but I would seriously doubt if there would be one that big.
I've got the fault map up right now. I mean, you can see that New Madrid. That one looks kind of...
Yeah.
Well, and that one that hit off the coast of South Carolina, that one's in the red.
Yeah, and so that one would be in an area, the one in South Carolina, that would be somewhat of an area where historically you would not expect big earthquakes. But, you know, Earth is a dynamic place, and at one point, 300 million years ago, South Carolina was a plate tectonic boundary that's now healed and is no longer active.
But we've got these fault areas, fault zones. Is that what you'd call it, a fault zone?
Well, there's individual faults, and if you get a broad area with a number of faults, it's called a fault zone, and they exist all over the planet, even in the middle of continents.
Well, that's what that was the point I was driving towards, like the New Madrid. It's right in the middle of the North American plate. So
it is.
How do we get fault zones in the middle of a plate?
Well, rocks move around. I mean, the Earth's not rigid, so it's composed of many different rock types with many different physical and chemical properties, and that becomes a discontinuity. In the New Madrid case, that is an old rift zone, a tear-apart zone, that eventually failed. And that's the reason that's there. But, the reason you have oil and gas production, it takes three things. It takes a source rock, which is a rock that generally is shale that has lots of organic matter in it that can be converted to oil and gas. It takes a reservoir rock, which is a porous rock like a sandstone or a limestone, for the fluids to migrate into and make an oil field. It takes a mechanism for that oil to be concentrated and preserved. And oftentimes, that is along faults where you would have a porous rock against a fault with a non-porous, a non-permeable rock that prevents the oil from dispersing and migrating. So commonly, where there are oil fields, there are lots of faults.
What is your opinion of why we're seeing an increase in activity? I mean, could fracking really cause earthquakes?
Well, there's no doubt that fracking could cause swarms of very minor earthquakes. The real issue here, I think, and the likely culprit, is the injection of mass quantities of water deep underground that, because they're oil fields, they're permeable rocks, meaning water can flow through the pores of the rocks, and they migrate into the faults, and they could lubricate the faults and cause them to slip. Now, whether this is the mechanism going on in Oklahoma, whether you could pinpoint it on specific disposal wells, whether it's going to get worse or going to get better, no one knows. There's no real scientific evidence right now. There's a multi-state effort to understand right now, with geologists and geophysicists and oil and gas industry and state geological surveys, to start some studies to try to figure out what's going on.
You know, this New Madrid fault, it looks like if that thing ever really breaks loose, those people in Memphis are going to have a bad afternoon.
Well, it's, last time it had major movement was in 1811, 1812, and it changed the course of the Mississippi River. It resulted in mass flooding from essentially Cairo, Illinois, all the way down to the Mississippi, what's called Mississippi Delta region, which would be just south of Memphis, and on into Mississippi. And certainly if that happened today, the city of Memphis is really vulnerable.
Mickey, can we switch gears briefly and talk about gold a little bit? From
sure.
A geological standpoint, if the gold here on Earth sprinkled down upon us from the collision of neutron stars back, billions of years ago, how does gold get to be concentrated here so that there are gold mines?
Well, the average rock in the crust in a planet contains somewhere between 3 and 4 parts per billion gold. So out of every billion parts of rock, 3 or 4 of those would be gold. It is generally concentrated by magmatic processes and hot waters into fault zones. And so there is a long-lived mechanism in areas that have higher gold budgets than normal and concentrated in deposits.
So what would be the process? I mean, is it like where you have a gold mine, just a little bit more of it sprinkled down there, or is there something geologically?
No, and I would object to the idea that gold is sprinkled down by neutron stars. There has been some evidence that gold can be created as an element by the explosion of neutron stars, but it just doesn't rain down upon the planet. The Earth was formed by coagulation of meteorites that had some budget of gold. Now, meteorites, certain kinds of meteorites, probably the iron meteorites, have a higher budget of gold. But the amount of gold on the planet now is essentially the same as the amount of gold on the planet when the planet was formed 4.5 billion years ago. We're not getting sprinkled down from the cosmos by gold.
But we're talking back in the day.
Yeah, we're talking in a billion years ago or something, and the formation of the sun and the coagulation of the Earth about 4.5 billion years ago. So the amount of gold that was on the planet 4.5 billion years ago is the same amount of gold that was on the planet today. It gets concentrated through magmatic processes, basically volcanic eruptions.
You wonder how much of it's floating around in the ocean.
Well, certainly there is a significant amount of gold in the ocean, but it is such a low amount that to develop a process to concentrate that gold is not economic. It's possible to extract gold from seawater, but it's not monetarily feasible.
Mickey, what you're going to be doing, what's your next assignment? How do you get an assignment to go out into the field and do your geology thing?
Well, I'm an analyst now, so basically people want me to evaluate their projects or their companies, and so a significant amount of my business is generated by that. And then I look at stocks, I invest in stocks, and I want to go see their projects on occasion. So sometimes I solicit companies to do that. My next trip is, a week from about right now, I'll be getting on a plane and flying to Reno, Nevada, and I'm going out to northeast Nevada to look at a newly discovered gold deposit that of a company that I invested in 4 months ago, and it was a 10-cent stock, and it closed last Friday at $1.15. So we've done quite well on that one.
How are these guys making any money with gold down here below the mining costs, purportedly?
Well, a lot of gold companies are not, and that's part of the problem. The companies I tend to speculate in are explorers, and so I try to get in early, and we're basically playing the stock market. We try to pick stocks that have a deposit or a project that has the geological characteristics that are permissive to make it a gold mine at some point in the future. But, I make my money in the stock market.
And to help Mickey, you can go to mercenarygeologist.com. It's a good website, mercenarygeologist.com. Mickey, what's the Twitter handle?
At mercenarygeo. And I would also encourage people to go to mercenarygeologist.fm, and that's our 24/7 streaming audio. And this interview will be part of the rotation on that, just as soon as you post on your website, and we can grab it and post it on ours.
It'll be up there in about two hours after the show. Mickey, I appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Alan.
All right, good talking to you. Have a good rest of your week. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day. Thank you.
All right, later.